I grew up at the Kleinwood Church in Houston, Texas, and our very first preacher was W.R. Jones. And my friends and I would sit up on the front like these young ladies are, and we would, as he was preaching, try to take notes of all of his overhead charts as he preached on the church and heaven and hell and the judgment. And one night, I'm certain he thought I was taking notes, and really I was drawing a picture of Brother Jones baptizing somebody who at that time was very important to me. It was the Incredible Hulk. And I took him the picture to show him after services. And I'm sure most preachers would tell a little boy to go run in the parking lot. He just studied it and kind of adjusted his glasses, and he said, "Well, the gospel is for all." And that's why we're here tonight, isn't it? As we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all. That's why we're having this meeting this week, so that those in this area can know that the gospel is for all. To close my eyes during the opening prayer tonight was to be transported back to Kleinwood. Now, as a senior in high school, when Leon and Alma Goff moved to Houston to work with the church there in what was a very difficult time. And they helped us weather the storm. And they helped to right the ship. And I will always be grateful that as a senior in high school, I got to see what a gospel preacher truly is. And it's wonderful to have them in our midst tonight. I'm thankful for them and all they've done in the kingdom of the Lord. To all who are visiting tonight, as has already been said, thank you for being here to help and encourage, to show forth the message of the gospel is for all. Remember that we've been studying about people in the Bible who are just like us, of a nature like ours, and revealed for us and preserved by God for our learning, that as we read about them, we might know which way to go. And sometimes, as is the case with our study for tonight, a warning about the way to avoid. And I want to begin in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. I invite your attention to this opening, Luke chapter 6, where we'll start reading at verse 12. I hope you'll follow along in your Bible as we read from the Word of God together. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles: Simon, who is named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who is called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. So the apostles are listed one by one four times in the New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts. Tricked you, didn't I? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts. And each time they're listed, there are some subtle variations just in the order of the names, with two exceptions. Each time they are listed, Peter is always listed first. His name always appears first. And so even in Matthew's account, it says the first, Simon, who is called Peter. And when you think about what's been preserved for us in the Gospels, in the interaction between Jesus and the apostles, there is more said by Jesus to Peter than any of the other 12. And there is more recorded that Peter said to Jesus than any of the other 12. So whether or not that makes him some unofficial spokesman of the 12, we don't know, but he's always listed first. And then the same name is always listed last. And with that name, Judas is a description of what he did in the betrayal. Think of it. Even the children's song does that. 12 apostles Judas made. Jesus was by him betrayed. You know, I think that's lost some of the shock value on us because we've sung that song or read those words so often. But I want you to imagine what that would have meant to the first century reader when they're just learning about Jesus and his kingdom, or just hearing these words for the first time being read out loud. The fact that Jesus was betrayed by one of his hand-picked apostles. Notice in our reading that he had many disciples who came to him when he chose the 12. So it wasn't like there were just 12 people following him and by default, you're going to be my disciples, my apostles. No, he chose from many who would be his special ambassadors, who would be the harbingers of the new kingdom, as certainly as the old kingdom was built upon the 12 tribes of Israel. And among those 12 that Jesus chose, one of them betrayed him. Now, sometimes this is explained away simply by saying, well, it was prophesied. It was predicted in the Old Testament scriptures, and Jesus himself, John said, knew who it was who from the beginning would betray him. And so some just say, well, Judas was a pawn in a great chess match between God and Satan, and he had no choice but to go through the motions and to betray Jesus. Well, folks, I find that as dangerous as when we say that Jesus did what he did or didn't do what he did simply because he was the Son of God. Well, how does that help me in the hour of temptation? How does he come to my aid? How does he come to my rescue if Jesus did not feel those things and go through those things as God, but in the flesh? To say Judas did what he did without free will, without his own choice, is to rob him of the gift God has given to all humanity, the power to choose. And what that does is provide the warning for tonight's character. If it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. If it can happen to one who so closely followed Jesus, what does that say about those of us 2,000 years removed from his life on the earth? So let's consider tonight Judas and us. Did you notice even in our reading, in verse 16, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. In the same way that the husband and the wife become one flesh, Judas became a traitor. What that does is eliminate this idea in our mind that when Jesus was choosing the 12, he looked out over this mass of disciples and said, all right, I need some fishermen. I'll get Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And I need a tax collector. I'll grab Matthew over there. And I need a zealot, so I'll take Simon. And then I need a traitor. Let's see, who can be the traitor? Who's going to play the part of the traitor? He became a traitor. If it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. First, number one, it can happen to someone who is a follower of Jesus. Someone who is a close disciple of Jesus. It can happen to us. Judas made the same commitment that the other 11 disciples did when they left everything to follow Jesus. Judas did that too. Now, the surname that is attached to Judas, Judas Iscariot, simply means man of Kerioth. And Kerioth, according to Joshua 15 and verse 25, was one of the cities apportioned out to the tribe of Judah when Joshua was dividing the land after it had been conquered. So Judas was from Judah, same tribe of Jesus, which meant he was from the area of Jerusalem. And he could have very easily stayed where he was and ascended in the ranks of Judaism in that prominent place. But he gave that up because he wanted to follow Jesus of Nazareth. He, like the other apostles, was sent out. That's what an apostle is, one sent. And notice what they were sent to do. Look ahead to Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. Now, does anybody tonight have a version of the Bible that has those verses that says in parentheses, except Judas? He sent them, but not the traitor. No, he was part of the 12. He was a preacher of the kingdom. He had power from Jesus to cast out demons and heal diseases. He was a follower of the Lord. And he became a traitor. Even Peter, later on in Acts chapter 1 and verse 17, when he's talking about what Judas had done, he said he was counted among us. It can happen to someone who's a follower of Jesus. And you're thinking ahead now, and you're saying, well, yeah, but how do we know it was genuine? He could have just been faking the whole time. Well, he was genuine enough that the other 11 entrusted him to carry the money box, according to John 6 and John 12. Now, maybe he volunteered, but they didn't deny him. I mean, they sure weren't going to give it to Matthew, the tax collector. But they trusted Judas. And remember when Jesus dropped the bombshell on the night of the Passover, the Last Supper, one of you will betray me. Not one person said, oh, I bet it's Judas, isn't it? I've been suspicious of him from the beginning. No, what did they say? One of you will betray me. What did they all say? Surely not I, Lord. He was a follower of Jesus. And it happened to Judas. Involvement in the Lord's work is no guarantee of our spiritual health and life. Just because we're plugged in to the work and we're active among the Lord's people and we're involved in the worship services and we even take part and lead God's people in the worship service, that does not mean that we're not susceptible to the devil's devices. How many times have we heard about somebody who's left the Lord and somebody who's destroyed their family and somebody who's split the church, and we say things like, I just can't believe they would do that. Well, that's what they said about Judas. I just can't believe it. He was one of the 12. It can happen to Judas. It can happen to us. Secondly, it can happen not just to a follower of Jesus, but number two, it can happen to one who is surrounded by good influences. Who all around him lives the good life. Now, Judas is one who was in the seat that we all envy. Anybody ever thought before, boy, I wish I could have seen Jesus do a miracle? Or I wish I could have heard with my own ears the Sermon on the Mount. I wish I could have been in the multitude to hear that. Or I wish I could have been a fly on the wall when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. Judas was there. He saw all those things. He was in the boat when Jesus walked on the water. He helped distribute the bread and the fish. He got to carry one of the 12 leftover baskets. He saw Lazarus come out of the tomb. He saw Jesus not only in the midst of great crowds, he saw him in private conversations. My daughter was little. We read to her from Mrs. Lee's Bible Stories. Y'all remember those books? And they're the Bible stories with pictures and written in language that children can understand. And one of the books is called The Life of Jesus. And I was reading that to my daughter one night before bed, and it was the miracle where Jesus healed or raised the son of the widow of Nain. That's where Jesus and his disciples are walking into the city while the funeral procession is coming out, and they're carrying this young man for burial. And Jesus has them stop. And according to Mrs. Lee, Jesus said to the man in the coffin, I say to you, get up. And Morgan's eyes got as big as saucers, and she said, let's see if he gets up. Don't you know the disciples thought that? Let's see if this happens. And Judas was one of those, like a little child. He heard the sermons. He witnessed the miracles. He was in the audience when Jesus told the parable of the sower. He saw Jesus up front, up close. And where many of us have heard the slogan, never meet your heroes. Everybody ever heard that? Somebody you idolize and you see them either on the ball field or on stage and you think, I can't wait to a time where I could see them in person, and then you see who they really are when the camera's off. the makeup's off, and how they treat people. But Judas saw a hero that was always the same. It can happen to someone who's surrounded by those influences. It can happen to us. Sometimes when young people move away to college and leave the Lord, their parents are left thinking, well, what'd we do wrong? What more could we have said, or what should we not have said? Or people leave the Lord and the elders wonder, what didn't we do to help them? But don't you see, you can have the best environment and be surrounded by the best examples, and you can hear the best preacher like Jesus and still choose to become a traitor. And if it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. Judas made his choice. That's how Peter describes him in Acts 1 and verse 17. He turned aside to go his own way. And if it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. It can happen, number three, to someone who doesn't guard their heart. That's the language Solomon uses when he says, watch over your heart, Proverbs 4 and verse 23, with all diligence, for from it, he said, flow the issues of life. And we might be tempted to think, oh, that means political issues, personal issues. No, the issue there is like the woman with the issue of blood. It's the source, the springs. From the heart flows the source of life. And so if you let things into your heart that shouldn't be there, then they're going to flow out of your mouth and your mind and your hands and your feet. So guard your heart. And I want you to see that Judas didn't do that. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might put him to death, for they were afraid of the people. And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12. And he went away and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. And he consented and began seeking a good opportunity to betray him to them apart from the multitudes. This is not a picture of the chief priest backing Judas into a corner and saying, you're going to hand Jesus over to us, or we're going to hurt your family, or we're going to kill you if you don't give us Jesus. Notice it was Judas who started the process. He was the one who sought them out. And you say, well, there it says Satan entered his heart, so Judas didn't have a choice about that. Well, is that the same thing you feel about when Jesus called Peter Satan? Remember when he predicted his betrayal and Peter said, Lord, this will never happen to you. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Peter, you're trying to carry out the purposes of the devil. You're tempting me the same way the devil did in the wilderness. Get behind me. And so in the same way, Judas is carrying out the purposes of the devil because he didn't guard his heart. They agreed on a price where Judas would lead them to Jesus at a time where the crowds would not be there. And remember, Judas would know the habits, where Jesus liked to go, where he might be. And they chose the Garden of Gethsemane. 30 pieces of silver. You might have a cross reference in your Bible that points you back to Exodus 21 and verse 32. So according to the law of Moses, if your neighbor's ox gored your slave, then you would pay him 30 pieces of silver. So Judas gave up Jesus, the Son of God, for the price of a gored slave. All because he refused to guard his heart. If it can happen to Judas, it can happen when we let the devil get too close. I remember a couple of boys at Southside years ago were wanting, after services one Sunday night, to go up behind the stage area, and they wanted to see the baptistry. And so they said, "Mr. Bubba, will you show us the baptistry?" And you have to go up these stairs, and then there's a little platform, and then the stairs go down into the water. And so right in the middle of that platform is a drain. And I thought, well, that's a good visual that they'll respect. I said, because I didn't want them to fall in. I said, "All right, you can go as far as the drain." And where do you think their feet went immediately? Right to the drain. And sure enough, somebody down the stairs said something to me. So I turned around, and when I turned back, one of them was holding the other, and he was dangling over trying to touch the water. But his feet were still on the drain. See, we want to get just as close as we can and flirt with sin and think, "I'm strong enough. I can resist the devil." That's how it happened to Judas. Remember in the garden, Jesus kept telling the disciples, "Watch and pray." Why? That you may not enter into temptation. And he'd go off and pray, and he'd come back, and they were asleep. "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he'd go and pray, and they could be sleeping. Did that three times. And so when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, he was ready. He'd been watching and praying. But they failed miserably. They scattered and ran away because it hadn't been guarding their heart. If it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. And fourth and finally, it can happen to someone who gives up on the grace of God. It can happen to one who gives up on the grace of God. See, Judas did give up Jesus. He did betray him. But then he gave up altogether. Let's look to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew 27. So this is now after the arrest. So Judas has led the soldiers to the garden, and they've arrested Jesus. and taken him for trial. And in verse 1, Matthew 27 and verse 1, "Now when morning had come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him up to Pilate the governor. Then when Judas, who had betrayed him," see how it keeps saying that as a shock to the reader, "Judas, the one who betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' But they said, 'What is that to us? See to that yourself.' And he threw the pieces of silver into the sanctuary and departed, and he went away and hanged himself." Well, what might have been going through Judas' mind here? He did this, Matthew says, when he saw that Jesus had been condemned. So I can think of three options. One, Judas thought, perhaps, "I'll turn Jesus over and get the money, and then just like I've seen Jesus do before, he'll escape from his enemies. He'll weave through the crowd or just disappear, and Jesus will get away, and I'll still get the money." But now he saw Jesus had been condemned. A second option might be that Judas said, "I'll betray him and get the money, and then Jesus will be tried and found innocent," because he knew Jesus was not guilty of the charges. But now Judas sees he's been condemned to death. He's going to die. And so he tried to return the money. Or third, Judas was in that camp of zealots who were looking for an earthly kingdom, a Messiah who would come and destroy the Roman Empire and reign physically on the throne of David in Jerusalem. And perhaps by arresting Jesus, it would trigger the angelic army to come and the messianic kingdom to be thrust into place. And now he saw that's not going to happen either. For whatever reason, Judas was remorseful and even returned the money. But it did not lead him to repentance. And where Peter at the end of chapter 26 went out and wept bitterly over his sin, Judas went out, hanged himself. Have you ever wondered what the early church might have been like, and the differences of the New Testament, if Judas had just waited 3 days? Just 3 days. And Jesus is alive. 3 days and he can redeem me. 3 days and I'll be alive again. But you see, he gave up. He gave up Jesus. And then he gave up altogether. There's a verse to the hymn, "Who Will Follow Jesus," that is not in our hymn books. It's part of the original hymn. But these are the lyrics. And I always think of Judas. Who will follow Jesus when the tempter charms? Fleeing then for safety to the Savior's arms. Trusting in His mercy, trusting in His power, seeking fresh renewals of His grace each hour. Judas went and hanged himself. You see, as long as there is time and breath, there is opportunity to return. And Jesus promised that to Peter when he said, Satan is demanding permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and that you, when you return, strengthen your brothers. Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. You might be thinking tonight, well, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. But Jesus does. Oh, I've gone so far, I can't come back now. That's what Judas thought. Remember, the gospel is for all. Jesus died and rose so that he could resurrect each one of us from the dead. Don't give up on the grace of God. If it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. The Jews gave up Jesus for envy. Judas gave up Jesus for money. Peter gave up Jesus for fear. Are we any different when we give up Jesus for drinking, for lying, for gossip, for anger? What a cheap price to give up the Savior. But God, the Father, gave Jesus out of love. Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants to redeem and save all who will come to Him, confessing their faith in Jesus and submitting to His plan for pardon. We want to sing a song tonight to encourage anyone who's ready to do that. Who will follow Jesus? Who will come to Him and cleave to Him and stay with Him all the days of their life? If we can assist you in that, if you need prayers and encouragement,